All right. What's up, Grace Point? My Grace Point family, how y'all living? Everybody good? It is so good to be back in Irving. I had an opportunity to be with the Grace Point students, the Summit students, just Wednesday night. Give it up for Pastor Zach. You love and appreciate him. I want to tell you something. Grace Point is so blessed with extraordinary staff pastors and leaders. I see the Dream Team has showed up today. Give it up for the Dream Team. Man, I've had my hands shaking all the way up to my elbow already today. From the parking lot all the way to the altar, you are blessed with incredible leaders. Thank you to the media team. Would you let one more time, everybody working so hard. The incredible culture that we feel in this church, it's not by accident, but it is brought on by so many people that are working so hard, and it is an honor to be back with you guys today. It's hard to believe, Pastor Jack, 3 months have passed since I was here on a Sunday morning, time is moving fast, isn't it? And the older that I get, the faster the time moves. I'm 29 years old today. It doesn't feel that way. Doesn't feel that way at all, but it is so. Are you hungry for God's word today? Yes. Amen. Hopefully you've been notified that following the service this morning, there will be a business meeting for all members, and we have 3 months ago, we had a business meeting, and we appointed Pastor Jack as the interim pastor, and I'll tell you, for the last 3 months, God's been doing extraordinary things here at Grace Point, and following our service this morning, we'll have a time of prayer. We'll have a dismissal and invite all of the members to stay, and then we will have a very short business meeting. Thank you to the pastor's council. I think we'd be remiss if we didn't give God praise for the pastor's council for the hard work. Thank you, Brother Jim, Brother Edward, Brother Charles, and the hard work that is being done. But is anybody hungry for the word of God this morning? If you are, say amen. And we're going to be looking in Philippians chapter 3, a message that God's laid on my heart called the good life. Everybody say the good life. And media team, you guys can throw that up onto the screen. If we are not following each other on social media, at Rob Bailey 01 is my Instagram. If you're on MySpace, that's cool too. But in Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul is crafting a letter to the ministers and to the followers of Jesus and the church in Philippi. And the incredible thing to me, Grace Point, is even though the Apostle Paul is writing from prison, imagine that, arrested for spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, even though he's writing from prison, he cares enough about the church to write words of encouragement, to write words of instruction, to tell the people he's discipling how to live a life that is more pleasing to the Lord. And that's where we found the title for this morning's message, The Good Life. Everybody say The Good Life. And in Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 12, three very short verses that we'll read. But the Apostle Paul says this, not that I have already attained this or am already perfected, but I press on. Somebody say yeah. I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brothers, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Everybody hold up one finger. One thing I do, forgetting what's behind. Would you point behind you? Forgetting one thing I do, forgetting what's behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Everybody give me a first down. Forgetting what's behind and stretching forward those things that are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Would you take both hands and put them high above your head? Father, we love you today, and God, we are so grateful for who you are. We're grateful, God, for what you mean in our lives. You have done everything for us, God. I thank you for these incredible people of God that have gathered this morning on this Sunday morning to seek your face. I pray, God, for the next few moments that your anointing will be in this place. Bless every one of us. I pray, God, that you would allow me to be hidden behind the cross and not be seen, but only let Jesus be seen and let his words be heard today. In everything we do, let Jesus be lifted up so that we would be drawn to you. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Look at somebody and tell them you look better today than you will in 50 years. That's true. It's true. A young soldier, and is there anybody here that was military or former military? Give it up for those guys right there. Thank you for your service. But There was a young soldier who was about to go into deployment, and he and his sergeant were traveling on a train together. And as these two soldiers were sitting in the train cart, a gorgeous young lady and her elderly grandmother got onto the train with them. And the grandmother sat down right in front of them. And as the train took off, the young soldier boy and the young lady just kept making eyeballs at each other. They just kept looking at each other, flirting with each other, smiling at each other. And as they went down the tracks of this train, the mutual attraction was intense. They didn't say anything because of the sergeant was sitting there and because of the strict grandmother was sitting there. But the attraction was intense. And then all of a sudden, almost as if providentially, the train went into a dark tunnel. Oh, yes. And when the train went into the tunnel, immediately two sounds were heard. There was the sound of a smooch and the sound of a smack. I want you to help me out with some sound effects. There was the sound of a smooch. Easy now, easy. And at the exact same time, there was a sound of a smack. Let me hear the smack. You can tell it's a Pentecostal church when the sound of the smack is louder than the sound of the smooch. But anyway, they go into the train. There was a sound of a smooch and the sound of a smack. And when the train came out, all of the passengers had a different thought that was going through their brain. The grandmother thought to herself, I can't believe that boy kissed my granddaughter, but at least she gave him the smack that he deserved. The sergeant thought to himself, as he rubbed his face, I don't blame that boy for kissing that pretty girl, but I wonder why she smacked me and missed him. Meanwhile, the beautiful girl thought to herself, I'm glad that good-looking boy kissed me, but I wish my grandmother hadn't smacked him. Meanwhile, as the train breaks into the sunlight, the soldier had a huge smile on his face, because he'd taken advantage of the moment, and he had kissed a pretty girl and smacked his sergeant at the exact same time. Somebody say the good life. Now listen, I've not come all the way from the state office to tell you to go around smacking and smooching people, but sometimes you got to do what you got to do. Sometimes you got to find the good life. Somebody say amen. We got to take every advantage of every opportunity that God has given us to live that good life. Does somebody agree with that? Now, again, don't go smooching this mac and say the bishop said I could, but listen to what I'm saying. At the end of the day, what matters is what Jesus said, doesn't it? And in John chapter 10, verse 10, what Jesus told his followers, he said this. He said, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that you might have life, and life more abundantly. Abundantly. And I love putting that grace point in a modern day dialect when Jesus said, listen, the whole reason that I came is that you would have life, that you would have the good life. Well, when I was graduating from Cleveland High School in Cleveland, Tennessee, I was there and I remember it just like it was yesterday. While I was there graduating in my royal blue cap and gown, there was a speaker that was booked to come and speak to the graduate. He gave what I call the Carpe Diem speech. Anybody ever heard what Carpe Diem is? Carpe Diem is a Latin term that says seize the day. And like yesterday, I remember this motivating speech. It was incredible as the speaker said things like, make every day count. And grab the bull by the horn. Grasp life with both hands. Go for the gusto. And I left that auditorium looking for a bull to grab. It is so good that I didn't find a bull. Because I would have grabbed the bull. I would have done my best. And when I grabbed hold of him, I'd have said, now what? What am I supposed to do now? I wanted to grasp something with both hands, just like the speaker told me to do. Just grab it. But the truth is, I didn't know how. And the truth is, I never found the bull. The truth is, I'm not even sure that I knew the exact definition of gusto, which I was supposed to go for. The speech was great. You with me? It was a great speech. We gave him a standing ovation, and we threw our hats in the air, and we walked out of the auditorium pretty much the same way that we walked in. We looked there for a bull to grab. Seize the day, carpe diem, live a good life. That's what we want to do, but how? It's interesting to me over the years how many different artists and singers and bands came up with that vernacular of living a good life. From the Black Eyed Peas to Tony Bennett, from One Republic to Weezer, 3 Days Grace to Trip Lee, even Kanye West jumps in with a song about living the good life. Everybody wants to live a good life. Everybody wants to sing about a good life. But my question to Grace Point is, how? How do we take advantage of the life that God has given to us? What is the secret to living a good life? Because, I mean, who doesn't want one, right? Of course we want a good life. Raise your hand if you want a good life. But what is the secret to living that good life? And under that good life context, I want us to revisit our text that's been on the screen. I want us to revisit this letter that Paul writes to the church at Philippi from the prison, and I want us to look at it as if it has the recipe for the good life that God wants for us to live. Here's what he said in verse 13. He says this, one thing I do. Indulge me one more time. Lift up your finger. One thing I do. Go back to verse 13, media guys. Forgetting what's behind and straining toward what's ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Here's my challenge this morning. I'm not going to preach 2 hours, only an hour and 45 minutes. I'm just kidding. My challenge this morning is in what I feel like that Paul is talking about to the church, is to live the good life. Point number one, if you're taking notes, it's simply this: find your purpose. Somebody shout purpose.
Purpose.
Do you know what your purpose is? Jeremiah 29:11, God says it like this, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. I have plans, he said. And to me, it's so incredible that the God of heaven and earth, the one who breathed everything into existence, has a plan for my life too. Does anybody else from time to time feel insignificant? Does anybody else from time to time wonder exactly who are you with all of the billions and billions of people that live and have lived and will live? What about you? What is your purpose? And it's incredible to know that the God of heaven has a plan for your life and a plan for my life. He has a plan and he has a purpose. And if I were to ask you this morning, what is the primary purpose for your life? What would you say? How would you answer the question, what is the primary purpose? In fact, if we passed the microphone around, we'd get so many different answers to that question. We're all so different. We're all from so many different backgrounds, and we come from different areas, but there's one thing in common. But let me tell you what some of the answers would be. There'd be a kid that would grab the mic and he'd say, my primary purpose is to be a good student. There'd be somebody that'd say, my primary purpose is to score touchdowns. My primary purpose is to finally get that perfect toe touch. I think I pulled a handy. I want to be a good son. I want to be a good daughter. I want to make money. I want to make friends. I want to be successful. I want to make the team. And all of these might be good. There might be somebody that says, I want to be a good father. I want to be a good mother. I want to be a nurturer. I want to be a good provider. I want to be a good husband. I want to be a good. There'd be so many wonderful answers to the question, but every one of these, or what is your primary purpose? That's all secondary. That all comes after the primary purpose. Even those are really good. What is the primary purpose? In other words, what is your existence? What's the reason that you're here? Does somebody have an ink pen? First one to get it to me, Pastor Jack, we'll give you 1,000. I didn't say 1,000 what? Just 1,000. This is a great pen. Thank you very much. I'm always looking for good pens. But what is the primary purpose for this pen? There's so many things that this pen could do. In fact, if you get on, I think it's Gillette.com. Don't get on there right now. But the purposes of a pen, they go on and on and on. What can you do with a pen? That we could be so creative. We can use it to point, to really get a good point home, right? We could use it as an airplane if we're creative. It could be a choo-choo train if we have an itch that we just can't get to. Sorry. Do you want your pen back? I've seen creative people with long hair that use this to tie their hair up. In a windy day, it could be a paperweight. There's so many things that you could do with a pen. The list goes on and on, depending on how creative you are. However, my question is this: what is the primary purpose of this pen? When they were making this pen, they didn't do anything about how it will be used to point and how it will be used as a paperweight and will somebody be able to make a man bun with it. They had absolutely was not on their mind. The only thing they were saying is, we want this pen to, somebody screamed, to write. If I'd called you up and asked you, what could this pen do? You could come up with a lot of things, but it would be ridiculous to say anything other than the primary purpose is for writing. This is what I want to share with you. Thank you so much. I didn't really scratch myself with it. But when we want to be successful in life, we have to know the reason for our existence. And Paul stated the reason for living in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. And what he said was simply this: that I may know him, that I may know Jesus and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed even to his death. Can I tell you that the reason for our existence is simply to know Jesus? What if Paul's purpose for life, his primary purpose, could be our primary purpose too? To simply know him, to know him, to understand him, to know him in his life, in his perfect life, to know him in his suffering, to know him in his death, to know him in his resurrection, and know him forever and forever and forever for all of eternity. What if that was our primary purpose? Can I tell you what would happen is we would change the world that we live in if what motivated us was what motivated the Apostle Paul behind a prison door. If we want to live that good life, if we want to live that abundant life, number one, we have to find our purpose. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. And number two is simply this: to live that good life, we have to forget our past. If you're here this morning, one thing that binds us all together is every one of us has a past. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, Paul said, there's one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind. If we're going to live that good life, we have to forget the past. Amen? There's two parts of the past we have to forget. I call one the prides of our past. Paul said, forgetting what's behind, the prides of our past, and also the pains of our past. Can you imagine me at 52 years old today, strolling up here in my letterman's jacket from high school? With my letter on it, and all of those glorious things from then. Can you imagine me today still rocking my shirt from 1990 when the Cleveland Blue Raiders beat the Bradley Bears, our crosstown rival? And we made a shirt that said, "We caged the Bears." It's great. We wore that all over the city because we were the best of the best of the best that year. What if in 2024 I was still talking about it? But what if that's all I could talk about was how we hung up 72 points on those Bears? What if that's all we talked about is that's what there's a reason today that I'm wearing my wedding band and not my class ring. Amen. Come on, somebody. Listen, there's some great things. There's some prides of our past, things that were wonderful from elementary school. Oh, I loved recess. There were some wonderful things from middle school, wonderful things from high school. But to live that good life today, I have to at some point erase those memories. Now listen, I don't mean when I say forget the past, that we actually erase the memories. We're always going to remember them, but I'm not going to let them control me anymore. Does anybody hear what I'm telling you right now? We're not going to let them control us anymore. The prides of my past will not control my day. I've not lost my ability to recall, but it will not dominate my existence. The glory days of our past should not control and dictate your today. For the abundant life of today, we have to forget the prides of the past. You believe that? Listen, gas is never going to be a dollar again. Mary Tyler Moore Show will never be back on.
President Reagan, God bless him, he's never going to be the president again. All of these wonderful things from the past, they're in the past, and we have great memories, but they will not control my today. If you believe that, say amen. Those are the prides of the past. But listen, not only do we have to not let the prides of our past dictate our today, but we can't let the pains dictate us anymore. I know there's some people in this room that we have a past that we're not proud of. I know that in our past, maybe we have hurt some people. Maybe in our past, we've been hurt by people. And maybe that past has caused us great pain. There's one thing I remember from my psychology 101 class. It simply was this, that hurt people will hurt people. And when we look at the Apostle Paul's past, if anybody had a past that they could have, it was the Apostle Paul. He had prides of his past where he said, I'm a Pharisee and I'm a Roman citizen. I'm educated. I'm smart. I've got money. I've got all of these things. But he also had a past where he had hurt people. People had hurt him. He had held people's coats while Christians were killed. He persecuted the church. He had now been shipwrecked in snake bit. And now he's in prison. He's got a past. But what he said is this, I've got a choice that I'm going to make, and I'm not going to let my past be the thing that defines me. I'm not going to let one sentence from my past, one chapter from my past be the book title, because God has something greater for me than my past. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Does anybody know who the author of your story is? And the author of the story still has his pen in his hand, and he's still writing your book. Don't let your past be the thing that controls you. You're here this morning, and if you want to come and play softly, I'm closing. Maybe you're here this morning and you've got a very bad past. Maybe you're here this morning and you have suffered through the abuse of a family member or someone that was supposed to be trusted. Maybe that abuse has bothered you your whole life. And if that is your story, my heart breaks for you, because that's my story too. Maybe those memories keep coming back to haunt you, and maybe from time to time, when even you think that it's gone, it pops back up, and those memories are haunting. I've just simply stopped by this morning to tell you this. In Jesus' name, it's time to surrender your past to God and give him your pain and those things that you're carrying. Give those cares to God and cast them at his feet. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I'm not telling you to ignore your past. Please hear me. I'm not telling you to ignore your pain, to hide from your pain. Just don't worry about it. No, I'm not telling you to repress it. I'm telling you to deal with it. Deal with it by giving it to God, to get the healing that you need so that you can forget it and not be bound. I want to remind you again, forgetting it is not erasing it, but moving on. By saying that pain will not be what defines me. Anybody hearing me this morning? In fact, right before we pray, what if that God could use that pain to help heal others? Can you imagine? I don't have time to go into the whole story. I won't. But one of the strangest stories in the Bible is found in the book of Job. Have you read that? And this short, relatively short book of the Bible, it deals with this good guy named Job. And Job had it all. He had wealth, he had family, he had somewhat of fame, friends. But when some of it crashed, it all came crashing down. He lost it all. And in the middle of all of this, losing his health and losing his family, losing everything that he had, when it all came crashing down, nobody could comfort him. Nobody could help him. The Bible said he had sores all over his body. And the only advice he got was, why don't you just curse God and die? But in such an odd, obscure verse, in Job chapter 2, verse 8, the Bible says that Job finds himself standing around broken pottery. Well, what a depressing sight. Around broken pottery. And in Job chapter 2, verse 8, the Bible says that Job reached down and grabbed that broken piece of pot and used that pot to help bring healing. Job used a broken piece of pottery and used it to just scrape the pain off. Are you catching that? A broken piece of pottery to soothe his pain. Now, I know now this seems odd, but imagine this, if it could, from the perspective of that broken piece of pottery. What would the pot, if the pottery could talk, what would it say? My life is over. I'm broken now. I used to hold beautiful things. I don't know what it held, Pastor Jack. Maybe it held food. Maybe it held oil. Maybe that broken piece of pottery held wine. I don't know what it used to. I don't know how beautiful, how intricate, how detailed it was at one point. But now it was worthless. Now it was laying in an absolute broken pile of nothingness. Job used what was broken. Come on, somebody. To help bring healing to him. How much more so can we in our brokenness, can we with our pains find our way back to the potter's wheel and be remade? And understanding that what broke us is no longer breaking us, it's in the past. I shared with the dream team in our prayer time this morning, there's a reason that the rear view mirror is smaller than the windshield. You have so much more in front of you. And what's hurt you will not be the thing that defines you. Here is my challenge, is to let your healing come. But in the process, let God use you to soothe somebody else. Let somebody use your story. Let somebody use your test and your trial to become the testimony of how you got over. Listen to me. Your past may have hurt you like crazy, but it can't hurt you anymore. My test has become my testimony. My trial has been the thing that God uses to help me help somebody else. Here is my challenge. Give your pain to the Lord and move on. Get the recovery that you're longing for. Get the hurt and don't let the pain detour you from the destiny that God has for you. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, I dare you this morning to give it to God and watch what God can do. To live that good life, you find your purpose, to know him and make him known. You forget your past. And thirdly and lastly, before we pray, is you face your present. You are living in a place right now that you are loved, you are valued, and you are cherished. Find and face your present. Forgetting what's behind and straining toward what's ahead. Can I tell you that the best is still yet to come? The best is still yet to come as we face our present. We're going to spend a few moments right now in prayer. But before we do, I just want to tell you that for a couple of ladies who loved Jesus along with their brother, they had what was a pretty bad, we define as a pretty bad day. Martha and Mary, they said, our brother is sick. Jesus, you've got to come. We're afraid he's going to die, but the Bible says that Jesus tarried. He couldn't come right then. Finally, when Jesus was able to come, he shows up. And the shortest verse in the Bible says that Jesus wept. He wept because his friend Lazarus had died. And as his two sisters are there, one of them says to Jesus, Jesus, if you had been here, if you had been here in the past, our brother would not have died. You know what she was saying? Jesus, you had power in the past. If you had been here back then, our brother would not have died. And you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, your brother will live again. And the sister chimed up and she said, yeah, in the great resurrection, you know what she was saying? In the future, you'll have power. In the past, if you'd been here, it would have been fine. In the future, we know everything is going to be fine. Do you know what Jesus said? He looked at her with the tears still in his eyes and he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Do you believe this? Hallelujah. That the same God that was and the same God that will be is the same God that is right now in the middle of your present right now. Whatever you're facing, whatever thing has caused you to lose sleep at night, whatever is causing you to be fearful and have anxiety and be afraid, can I tell you that in Jesus' name, he said, I am, not I was, not I will be, but I am. Would you just say that? Say, he is the resurrection and the life. He that believes will not perish, but have everlasting life. Would you stand up to your feet all over this house?
Would you just lift up your hands in this place and give him honor? He is here. He is here in this place. We give you honor, King of Kings. With every head bowed, with every eye closed, with nobody looking around, whatever you are facing today, whatever you're facing, maybe you're facing uncertainty. You know what, prayer team, would you guys come back up to the front? There's some healing that's going to happen this morning. There's some baggage that's been getting carried around. We're going to get some things prayed through this morning. If you're here this morning and you're facing uncertainty, you just kind of wave at me, hands are up all over this house. If there's some things you're facing that you're uncertain about, can I tell you that God is going to give you some answers this morning in Jesus' name? There's some things that has anxiety. If you're here this morning and you're facing anxiety and fear, just wave at me. I want to see who I'm talking to. God bless you all over this house. God bless you. God bless you. As you brought pain in with you from your past, would you just wave at me? I want to see who I'm talking to. There's some pain. God's going to heal your pain in Jesus' name. Your pain hurt you, but it can't hurt you anymore. God bless you. God bless. See your hand right now. If you're here this morning and maybe you need healing in your body, you need Jesus to do what his word says he will do, lift up your hand really high. I want to see who you are. You need healing in your body. God bless you. We believe in healing in this house. The healer is here. He is here. He is here. If you're here this morning and you're bound by addiction, can I tell you, I know someone who can break your chains. If you're bound by addiction, wave at me in Jesus. I don't know what your addiction is. He can break it in Jesus' name. God bless you. From alcohol to nicotine, from drugs to pornography, there is no chain that is stronger than the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, chains will be broken. If you're having habits that need broken, the God of the present is here to meet you this morning. I'm going to count to three. When I say three, I want to ask every single person that has something you need Jesus to do for you in this house. I want to ask you to get out of your seat, and these incredible prayer partners are going to pray with you. Get ready to come. One, chains are falling in Jesus' name. Two, lives are being touched in Jesus' name. One, two, three, get out of your seats and come find somebody, and we're going to get broken, we'll get unbroken from these chains in Jesus' name, unfettered from these chains. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you're back at your seats, would you just stretch your hands this way? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. No weapon that's formed against you will prosper in the name of Jesus. If you're believing for someone in your family to get saved, I ask you to come forward right now and somebody stand in the gap with them that are believing for prodigals to come home. If you need healing in your body, understand the Bible says that the Messiah was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. In Jesus' name, I pray for a healing balm of Gilead to be uncorked and begin to flow in the name of Jesus. God, those that have pains from their past, I pray right now in Jesus' name, those cares of the world that they brought in with them, they would cast those cares at your feet, Jesus, because you care for them. Father, in the name of Jesus, stretch your hands toward these that are getting healing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lamb of God, that takes away the sin of the world. God, addictions being broken in the name of Jesus. God, we believe the best is yet to come in the name of Jesus. Father, we worship you in this house. God, we give you praise and glory and honor in this house.
We honor you and we bless your name, Jesus. We honor you and we bless your name, Jesus. God, I pray that every single one of us in this house, that our primary purpose would be fulfilled, God, that the reason that you have laid hold of us in the first place would be revealed, and that, God, you would use us, the people of this church, to make the name of Jesus more famous in Irving, to make the name of Jesus be lifted up all over this city, all over this county. God, from the students to the seniors, from the young adults to the middle-aged, that every single one of us would be one mind and one accord, unified in the name of Jesus, to know you, God, and to make you known. God, help us forget the prides of our past. Help us, God, forget the pains of our past and give you our everything and live knowing that you are the resurrection and the life. Thank you, Jesus. God, the plans that you have for us to prosper us and not to harm us, to give us a future and a hope. Pray blessings on every man, every woman, every young person in this house. If you're here this morning and you need forgiveness of sin, to accept Jesus as your Savior, to let him walk with you and talk with you, if you need him to forgive you, just lift up your hand. He's in the place. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Every hand that went up, God sees who you are. God knows you. God knows where you're coming from, and God knows where you're going. I want to tell you that following him is as simple as admitting that you need a Savior, admitting that there's sin in your life, believing that Jesus is the Son of God, confessing that sin and inviting him to be the Lord of your life. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All over this house, one more time, would you lift up hands in this house? Simply pray this prayer. Jesus, I come to you, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Say that in your heart right now. That Jesus is the Son of God. That he lived a perfect life. That he died on a cross for my sins. And I thank you for your forgiveness. I thank you for your sacrifice. And I confess my sins before you, and I accept your forgiveness in my life. Be my Lord. Pray that prayer. Be my Savior. Be the leader of my life. I accept your forgiveness. Hallelujah. 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 God hears your prayer. God answers your prayer. And if you prayed that prayer, God has forgiven you of your sins. Somebody give God praise in this house. Thank you, Jesus. If you prayed that prayer, tell somebody what God has done in your life. Surround yourself with people that are on the same journey as you. Surround yourself with people that will lift you up and not tear you down. Father, we love you tonight. Today, God, we give you thanks and we give you praise for everything that you do, everything that you have done, every promise in your word that's yes and amen. Father, I pray that your blessings would be on this house. I pray, God, that you would lead, guide, and direct. Thank you, God, for this incredible church, for this incredible body, for this incredible leadership team, and your people called by your name. Use this church, God, to make a difference in the world. We give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. Come on, lift up your hands. So we pour out our praise. Pour.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody give God a hand clap of praise in this house. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If God did something good for you today, tell somebody. We're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Tell somebody what God has done for you today. You are dismissed.